Found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Brother Tedbro was talking about common scriptures or familiar scriptures being a little difficult, but I think sometimes we have a tendency to assume that and maybe to brush over it when in there may be truth there that we need to brush up on, or maybe there be some new truth that God could give us. And I'm sure this scripture is a very familiar scripture. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I don't know if I got it in my notes or not, but the Amplified New Testament says on this verse, one of the definitions there was not to faint, not to turn coward, but to pray. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning again for this beautiful day and for the privilege to love you and to serve you. We pray that thou wouldst open your word to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lifting our text this morning, and I want to center, I guess not so much on the widow, but upon this unjust judge. I can't do him justice, but I'll try. Lifting our text out of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and verse 25, we find these words, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, if you're familiar with that scripture, you'll remember that these words were part of Abraham's prayer when he was praying that God might spare Sodom and Gomorrah, and the issue was there that God wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. Now, I don't know what you're thinking or what your feeling is in regard to the tribulation, and whether you're pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib or whatever, but I've always felt that the scripture taught that there is a principle here that God doesn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. But that's beside the point. I just throw that in. But that was Abraham's praying whenever he was interceding, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, 20 on down. But he was reminding the Lord, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? I'm telling you this morning that he certainly will. We have, and he gives us this parable and this incident here of this situation of the judge that's in power and in authority. And then he goes on and tells us, shall not God speedily avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? He's showing us what a great advantage we have this morning to what the poor widow had in trying to get her petition through and get her plea through, but what a great advantage we have in being able to come to our Heavenly Father. God here is pictured as a counterexample to this judge. He gained the title of unjust judge. Jesus said there was a certain judge. He talked about him, but then you get on over into the story, we find that Jesus called him in verse 6, but Jesus called him, said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and called him the unjust judge. And whenever you talk to Bible reading individuals about the unjust judge, we know immediately who and what they're talking about when they call him the unjust judge. One of the characteristics of this fellow was that he might rule right, or he might rule unfairly or wrongly. You didn't know which way he was going to rule. But in comparison to the fellow, the one that we serve, and the judge that Abraham was talking about, the judge of the whole earth, the one that sits on that throne, he will rule right. Now, he doesn't rule right to man's standards many times. Individuals accuse God of being unfair and not ruling right, but nevertheless, he does rule right and he does rule fair. And he said, though he may stay his righteous judgment for a while, there will come a time, he said, whenever righteous judgment will be and God will answer speedily. Praise God. Abraham realized that the judge of all the earth would do what was right, and he had based his faith on that very fact. We can know that this morning and likewise base our faith on that and act accordingly. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, he said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Praise God. We have a strong consolation. And the two immutable things that he's talking about here are God's word and God's oath. That's what the comments on one version that I have had to say. Then Wesley was talking about these two immutable things. He said it's his promise and his oath. Because God could swear by none greater, he swore by himself and gave us of his promise and gave us of his oath. But we know that it's impossible for God to lie. Not so with this unjust judge, but with our judge this morning, it's that way. Well, we notice this judge had a defective character. And whenever he would rule, it would just be normal and natural that he would rule according to his flawed character. In his thinking, in his standards, in his code of ethics, however warped and twisted they might be. Even though it may have seemed right to him, yet it could be very twisted. And individuals this morning that sometimes either have no conscience or an awful twisted and warped sense of what's right and what's wrong. God this morning is the authority. God's word this morning is the authority. We need to walk in the light. But on the good side of the ledger this morning, we know that God is holy. His character is as it ought to be. God is holy. In heaven, they're crying no doubt this morning, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." The main attribute of God is holiness. He is governed by it. The third thing about this judge that Jesus talked about, he was unpredictable. depending on his mood, depending on the circumstances, depending on the persons that were involved in court that day. It had its bearing on him. But I like what Malachi says about the Lord. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hallelujah. God feels about it today just like he felt about it yesterday. Just like he felt about a thousand years ago or will in the future. He hasn't changed none whatsoever. I change not. James 1:17 said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Wesley pointed out in his notes in the New Testament that every good gift is from the Father. Also, he said he is the Father of all light, material or spiritual, the Father of lights. He is the source of light. The devil is the source of darkness and blackness and destruction and whatever is connected with that. But our Heavenly Father this morning is the source of all light, material and spiritual. He made mention in this, Wesley did, about this no variableness, said no change in his understanding, our shadow of turning, meaning no change in his will. That's why whenever we come and meet the conditions at an altar of prayer that God has for us, God is plain and fair and faithful in those conditions, and it'll always be that way. Whatever he wants you to do, whatever the price might be, whatever you need to do to settle with God, that's the way it'll be. He'll not up the price tomorrow. It'll not change tomorrow. There's no variableness and neither shadow of turning. Praise God. You can depend on him. Maybe I'm venturing out here a little bit on this fourth thing about this judge. But I don't believe I am. I believe it's here in the scripture. I believe he was cold and hard-hearted. How could he turn that widow away and not avenge her of her adversary and let her suffer? And the scripture tells us that he didn't fear God and he had no regard for man. An individual in that condition would have to be cold and hard-hearted. He had no reason to be otherwise. When you don't have God, when you don't have principle, when you don't have right ruling in your heart, you don't have any reason to be any other way. I like Jesus' attitude in Matthew 11. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." The creator of the universe, meek and lowly in heart. The 103rd Psalm said, "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust." Just dirt. We don't amount to too much. In our beginning, we come from an awful poor beginning. I believe this judge, his attitude toward God, this attitude of no fear, warped his whole outlook. Consequently, no fear toward God. Consequently, no love toward God. Wouldn't life be something? Wouldn't life be empty? No way that he could really properly fit in. It's the father that's a Christian father that knows better how to love his wife and his children. The wife that loves God that knows much better how to love her husband. Children that love God will know better how to love others as well as their own family. He had no love. But our judge this morning, it said, for God so loved the world. And He proved that by the fact that He gave His only begotten Son. He revealed that love when He gave His only begotten Son. I believe this judge, no doubt, was able to look the part of his position. Thank God this morning for a warm presence. Thank God for His presence that came even in the song service. Thank God for the warmth of His presence. But I believe here was a courtroom, if you could envision that, that was cold, a dreaded place to go, a judge that filled that place, and his countenance was such that you wouldn't want to be there and see him take charge of court and handle business. But the countenance of our judge this morning, the countenance of our Heavenly Father, is warm and kind and inviting. His actions and His look so much as said to that poor widow that come, go on, get out, don't come back, go on, get away, don't bother me. But our judge this morning said, come on, if it bothers you, then bring it to me. Praise God. Again, the Amplified New Testament, verse 7 there said, and will not our God, and they inserted in there, our just God. Will not our just God defend and protect and avenge His elect, or they're amplified, His chosen ones. Hallelujah. One of the things about this judge, he'd already made up his mind he wasn't going to do it. I don't know how we're at, but I doubt very far, and definitely the first time, no doubt, that she was there, he already had made up his mind, I'm not going to grant your petition, and told her as much. But things in our favor this morning in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter said, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Praise God. They're already yes. They're already in the affirmative. Praise God. This judge just didn't want to be bothered. He'd draw his pay and his salary if this widow and any of the rest of them like her never came and darkened his door. He just didn't want to be bothered. But we're not only invited this morning to come to our Heavenly Father, we are commanded. We are commanded to come. We are commanded this morning to pray. And then last, we find a judge that was totally selfish. Never feared God. Didn't have any regard to his fellow man, just however it affected him. Totally selfish. But we serve one this morning. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? He said, I have abundant provision. And I'm not selfish about it, but I'm on the giving hand. I want to give. It doesn't enrich him to withhold. It doesn't impoverish him to give and to give and to keep on giving. Amen. He gave this lesson. He said that men ought to pray and not faint. Stay at it. Not turn coward. Not be a turncoat. Not give in the battle. But to pray. This widow realized she had no other alternative. There was nowhere else to go. And we have no other place to go this morning except to our Heavenly Father. Let's stand.